Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, September 29th, the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is the 19th Sunday after Pentecost. It is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And I pray that you'll find your time here with us, our time together, a time of rest and renewal and revitalization. And so it is our practice here to start all things in a spirit of thanksgiving. And so we give thanks for our life by taking in the breath of life. So let's do just that. Let's breathe in and hold that breath just for a moment and savor it. Think about it. It's the breath of life. It's the gift of life, the inhale and the exhale of daily life. It's all a bit of a mystery. It certainly is a gift. And so as you breathe, I ask that you call to mind the people and the places, the opportunities, the situations in your life that bring you joy, that light you up inside. Your favorite people, places, that special place where you sit and read a book and have a cup of tea, any of these kinds of things. Call them to mind. And as you hold them in your mind, give thanks to God for each and every one of these people, each and every one of these opportunities. Maybe open your arms wide as if to embrace God. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this posture, in this state of mind, let's begin together in worship. Please join with me in the call to worship as printed in your digital bulletin. And you can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast. Just to the left and just below the line, you'll see a tab that says Sermon Notes. Click in there, tap on there, and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Come, all who are suffering and in need of healing, for the Lord hears our cries. We come in faith, seeking the God who restores and renews. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. We come to pray, to praise, and to lift one another up in the presence of God. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Let us turn to God with our hearts open, confessing our sins and seeking His grace. We come trusting in God's mercy, believing in the power of prayer, and rejoicing in the healing He provides. Let us worship the one who hears, who heals, and who saves. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading today comes from the book of James in the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 20. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. For a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we call out to you in this moment, and we give you thanks for the gift of your word, alive and living among us. And for these few minutes when we gather around your word, we pray, O God, for a very real sense of your presence with us, teaching us, helping us to understand what it is you're saying to us in this moment, this particular moment as we listen to the podcast, but this moment in our lives, whatever it is we're going through right now. We need to receive this word of yours for guidance, for healing, for encouragement, for strength, for companionship. You know what we need. And so we pray, O God, that you'd save us. Save us from distraction. Calm our racing brains. Help us to hear you, to hear the word that you have for each and every one of us as individuals and as a church. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Friends, as I record the podcast and I look out the window, I can only describe it as a perfect day. The sun is shining, beautiful blue sky, a gentle breeze. I mean, it's all there, butterflies, birds, flowers. It's a perfect day. And it's a perfect day that stands in contrast to a hellish day that played itself out just a few hundred miles east of here when Hurricane Helene came ashore and pretty much flattened everything in its path, with surf and rain and wind that wasn't just on the Gulf Coast, but it made its way up into the Carolinas, into Tennessee, and dams have given way and towns have been washed away. You've seen it. I don't need to go into any more details of it. I'd imagine by now you've seen the pictures and read the news accounts. And it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking for those who are at a distance from it. And the chaos and the disorientation for those who are in the midst of it. The suffering is hard to see. So I think it's timely that the lectionary gives us this reading from James. And that the first line of the reading today is this: Are any among you suffering? Yes, they should pray. Now, people will hear that in different ways. Those of you who have cultivated a prayer life, those of you who find yourself in a daily, regular relationship with God, you can read that and find great comfort and strength in it. I find great comfort and strength in those words, but I also know that they can fall flat. James really, really knew that they could fall flat. The lectionary has been giving us readings from James for the last several weeks. I've only preached on it one time before in this cycle. And I encouraged you then, I'll encourage you again today, read the whole thing. James was we'll call him the senior pastor of the church in Jerusalem, one of the original congregations, if you will. James was, and his people were no strangers to suffering and persecution and poverty and scarcity. And they survived largely this, by doing this, in the midst of it all, calling out to God, having God settle their hearts and their minds, giving them wisdom and vision and the strength and the perseverance to carry on in the name of Jesus. And that's his instruction in this letter, which is written to his church. But the truth is eternal and profound, and it comes forward to us to receive as a gift in the moment. But he has a lot more to say. This is the end of the letter. Prior to this, he's telling the church that your words aren't enough, that they have to be followed by faithful action. But it begins with prayer. Before we act, we need to contemplate, we need to pray. God, cleanse me of any selfishness, any self-preservation. What is it, O God, that you would have me to do in this moment, God? Watch over and protect those devastated from the storms to be in this conversation with our Creator, the one in whom we have our being, and the one in whom our brothers and sisters who are suffering right now in this particular way have their being, so that we might come alongside them in ways that are truly helpful for them. And so then I want to move on from this particular example and move on along in the letter with James. He follows that first line by saying this: Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are you cheerful today? What is it that you're thankful for? I mean, I said it at the opening of this podcast, of this sermon. I can't help but just be awestruck by how beautiful it is today. And then I get a tinge of guilt, like, how can I celebrate? How can I enjoy this sunshine and the birds singing when there are those not too far from here suffering? James counsels, and I believe the Holy Spirit counsels us, that you can do both. Don't let this slip through your fingers. Don't let this beautiful day slip through your fingers. Is someone coming over today for lunch? Did you meet someone for coffee? Are the grandkids coming home? Did you get a letter from someone? Did some unexpected good happen? Don't let that slip through your fingers. You can give thanks and praise and lift it up and let your heart be filled with it. And at the same time, and in the same prayer, offer petitions to God to guide your thinking, channel your resources to those in need or toward yourself. Because maybe that suffering isn't remote from you. Maybe it's the reality of your life, that in the moment you have some besetting problem, some physical affliction, some financial need, and at the same time you look out the window and the sun is shining, or your neighbor's kid just learned how to ride a bike. Hold it all up before God. He goes on to say, he gets specific about the suffering. Are any of you sick? Here's some very specific guidance. You call on the elders of the church. Have them pray over you and anoint you. Sure, see the doctor if you need to. But call that trusted person of faith. Call your pastor or your priest. Call your parish nurse. Call that trusted healing presence in your life. In this beautifully healing moment of being anointed, of just having someone touch your forehead, anoint you with oil in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And what it's like when the peace that passes understanding enters your spirit. This is the kind of thing that allowed the church in Jerusalem to persevere, to live and sustain itself and last generation upon generation upon generation until this current moment where this letter that James wrote is preserved and we can share it together. Why all of this? Because, says James, the prayer of faith will save the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Come to me. Yes, I saw that on Tuesday there was that thing. You fell down. And it was pretty embarrassing. And I can sense that you're ashamed of it. You come here. Did you confess it? Do we want to reorient our lives and come back in the right direction? This is the power of prayer. That all hope is not lost. That together there is, tomorrow might just be better than today. And so, therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. That you may be returned to wholeness. Because it's very true that there's one thing to be alone in it. I don't think there's anything that's more scary or disorienting or troublesome than being in the midst of a problem, a situation, being sick or hurting, and having a sense of, I have nowhere to go, no one to share this burden with. But if we begin in prayer, I can share it with God. I can call the elders. I can bring a community around me. Then things start to happen. And so therefore, if we confess our sins to one another, pray for one another, we'll be healed, we'll be made whole, we'll have strength for a new day. Why? James goes on to say, the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Prayer's a real thing. Prayer has power. Prayer has energy. Prayer can do work. This is communication with that which is spirit. Spirit being a disembodied personality. It has all the aspects of personhood, but not a physical form. But it does work. And that becomes this thing that is faith. And if prayer is just, you feel like it's just not my thing, I don't know how to do it, try not to make it complicated. If you needed help, if you need help and you have difficulty praying, and if you can trust a little bit that God, the one in whom you live and breathe and have your being, can bring you help, maybe in ways that you can't fully understand right now. And if God were to sit across the table from you or sit next to you on the couch or next to you in the car, and you had the courage and you just let it out. Here's what's going on in my life. Here are my joys, and here are my concerns, and here are my challenges, and here are my finances, and I need your help. Just the way you tell that trusted, beloved friend, that's a great model of prayer. That is a great place to start. Because the prayer of the righteous, and I'll add on to that, the prayer of those with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, the prayer of the vulnerable and the weak and the lost, is powerful and effective. And James goes on to use an illustration of Elijah, who was a person just like us, who prayed fervently that it might not rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again. And then it rained. And there was a harvest. There's precedent. It's in our tradition. That's an ancient illustration. But many of us have those prayer warriors in our lives who can tell us about the effectiveness of prayer. Things that seem to just shift almost instantaneously, or answers to prayer that came in unexpected ways and over a longer period of time. But answers came. Answers come in a true sense of the presence of God with us. But it's not easy. And some of us get disheartened, and we just want to walk away and quit on the whole thing. And James has encouragement for that as well. In verse 19, he says, "My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." And this, we need each other for this. If you find yourself in a solid spiritual position, if you're feeling like both feet are on solid ground in terms of your life, your faith life, your prayer life, your understanding and peace with God, think of those people that maybe you worry about them. Are you praying for them? Praying that God be with them. I think it's easy for us to have a list of things we'd like to change about other people, behaviors and patterns and habits. But perhaps what James is getting at is just pray God's love over them. God, surround them with your love. God, help them to see themselves as you see them. Rather than some of the fixing prayers, I'm real good at those fixing prayers. Some of you may be as well. But just to name God and to name that person who we sense just might be wandering around in the dark, and to call them back and to dust them off and to line them on the path, that's a new way of living. That's really, really good news. To which I say, Amen. And so, we pray. Gracious and merciful God, in response to the encouragement from our brother James, we call out to you and we pray. We pray over those who are suffering, O God. And as we've named, particularly the suffering of those in the wake of this recent hurricane. Help us to understand how it is that we can come alongside them in ways that are truly healing and helpful. And in the midst of all the chaos and despair, O God, we are continually shown wonderful things. Help us to celebrate those things that are grand and beautiful, and the simple things as well. Help us to sing songs of praise, to balance the songs of lament. We pray, O God, over those who are sick, that your healing mercies will abound. Blessings be upon the sick and those who offer their tender, loving care. We pray your anointing over them all. We pray, O God, all of us, for a saving faith. The kind of faith that can heal nations. And we pray, O God, for those in positions of power and influence. Soften their hearts, open their minds. Help them to understand the importance, the real importance and the gravity of the influence and the power that they have. And those, O God, who feel invisible, those for whom the day-to-day is a struggle, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And you know us, each and every one of us right now, God. We all have a list. We have stuff that's going on in our own lives, in our own bodies, things that are going on in our families, among people we love. And so we take all of these joys and these concerns, this list, and we put it on the altar before you so that you would consider it and bless it, and that you'd respond to us, O God, having come to you in prayer. What would you have us to do? And so we make a quiet space to sit in your presence and to listen for your voice. And we break our silence. We thank you, God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for this beautiful gift that is your church. We thank you for the faithful men and women who have preserved our sacred stories and our prayers and our songs. We pray that you'll join us, that you'll hear us as we say together a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us as we say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, let's do it this way. Let's do it in prayer. Let's practice what's been preached. Let's put into practice what James has encouraged us to do, to be in prayer about all things, to be completely open with God about everything that's going on with us. Our God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who hears our prayers, bids us peace. And so to encourage us in this practice, I'll leave you with this. There is a song, one of my very favorite songs in the contemporary Christian world, by one of my very favorite artists in that genre. He's a singer-songwriter by the name of Chris Rice, who wrote a song a while back called Big Enough. And I'll let the song speak for itself, but I'll play it as a way of postlude. I'll include the lyrics in the bulletin. And I pray that it will speak to you the way that it speaks to me. Be blessed and be in prayer. And we'll see you next time. Peace be with you.
None of us knows, and this makes it a mystery. If life is a comedy, then why all the tragedy? 3.5 pounds of brain tried to figure out what this world is all about. And is there an eternity? Is there an eternity? God, if you're there, I wish you'd show me. And God, if you care, then I need you to know me. I hope you don't mind me asking the questions, but I figure you're big enough. I figure you're big enough. Lying on pillows, we're haunted and half awake. Does anyone hear us pray? If I die before I wake, then the morning comes and the mirror's another place where we wrestle face to face with the image of deity, the image of deity. God, if you're there, I wish you'd show me. And God, if you care, then I need you to know me. I hope you don't mind me asking the questions, but I figure you're big enough. I figure you're big enough. And I imagine the size of the universe, and I wonder what's out past the edges. And I discover inside me space is big, and believe that I'm meant to be filled up with more than just questions. So God, if you're there, I wish you'd show me. And God, if you care, then I need you to know me. I hope you don't mind me asking the questions, but I figure you're big enough. I figure you're big enough.